This is Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Lord, I pray that your word might speak to us this morning, and that we might hear your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're coming very nearly now to the end of the Book of Ephesians. Actually, it's over a year that I've been working through this book. Lots of interruptions to various things. But all of the talks are available on the church YouTube channel. So if you do want to go back and listen to any of the rest of them, they're all there. And on the website as well. But now we're in the last chapter, so we're in the middle of chapter 6, and we get this whole section which is about what many people refer to as spiritual warfare. For some of you this might be a completely new thing, for some of you it might be very familiar territory. But just to remind us all, first of all, that Paul is writing this from prison. In fact, in verse 20 it says, doesn't it, I am an ambassador in chains. So just imagine Paul there, chained up. And what's he looking at all day? Well, probably a Roman soldier. And so here in this section, we get this portrait of a soldier armed and ready for battle. Now, I don't know, some of us might struggle a bit. I know I do with all the kind of aggressive military imagery. And you might say, oh, didn't Jesus come in peace? Doesn't he command us to love our enemies? Well, the answer to that is yes, yes, yes. And I think down the years, sometimes when Christians have taken these texts and sort of justified physical warfare with them, that's actually completely missing the point. In fact, it's going against the point of what Paul is saying. This is spiritual warfare. It's against spiritual forces, spiritual enemies, spiritual beings, spiritual evil. So the first main point today is this. We need to know our enemy. We need to know our enemy. Who or what are we fighting against when we put on this armour? Now, as I said earlier, when we enter into life as a follower of Jesus, we're entering into a battle. And when we read the Gospels, we can see it being raged in Jesus' own life. We see Jesus, don't we, just after his baptism in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. And what's he being tempted? He's being tempted to give up on the plan that God has called him to. And then wherever Jesus goes, we see this confrontation with spiritual evil. We see unclean spirits coming out of people. We see sickness being driven away. And we see that confrontation between Jesus and the powers of evil that are arranged against him. And when his disciples ask him, how should we pray? One of the things Jesus teaches them to pray is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we see it in Jesus' life. But as followers of Jesus, our eyes become opened to the fact that actually this same battle is also going on today. It's going on in us and around us and all across our world. Sometimes people kind of scoff at the idea of the devil or kind of unseen spiritual powers at work. But that's probably because of the way that these things have been portrayed in like cartoons and films and things like that. And this picture of a little red man with horns and a pitchfork. But actually, I think that today it's very difficult to look around the world and not see that there's a battle raging all around us. Whether it's in cruel wars and violence that we see going on, or the deceptive ideologies that are at work around us, the idolatry, the abuse of power, the injustice that's going across the world, or even closer to home, where we see families split apart, where we see the abuse of children, where we see addictions that wreck people's lives and so on. When Jesus spoke about the devil, he called him the thief. And he said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And I think whenever we look around and we see life and goodness and hope being stolen, when we see destruction of people's lives, then we know who's at work, don't we? So Paul talks about the devil being our enemy. One of the things we need to know about this is that the devil is in no way equal to God. I think sometimes people think the devil's like a kind of equal and opposite power to God. You know, there's God and the devil, and they're kind of both somewhere the same sort of level. That is completely untrue. The devil is completely not comparable to God. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing, all-seeing. And the devil's just not. It's kind of, you know, it's like tiny, tiny, microscopic grain of dust compared to the universe. It's that different. But his tactics are dirty. Lies, deceit, manipulation. The word devil is actually just a title that means opposer, the one who comes against God. And he's also called Satan. That's another title used in the scriptures, and it means accuser or slanderer. And that's how he works, isn't it? He wants to accuse us, to slander us, to tell us lies that are not true about God and about ourselves. Lies are his native language. Think of the words of the snake in the garden. Don't worry about eating the fruit. You won't surely die. Trying to make them think God is not to be trusted. Oh, that fruit looks lovely. Sure, it's really nice. It'll make you like God. Taking the words of God, twisting them, trying to break our relationship with God and trying to break our relationships with one another, bringing chaos, bringing disorder. Trying to persuade us that we know best and that God doesn't really have our best interests at heart. So our enemy is the devil, the thief, the slanderer, the father of lies. He masquerades as an angel of light. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. Peter says that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He and his minions are not welcome in this church. But Paul tells us that our enemy can also be the powers. So look at verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What are these powers that Paul is talking about? The theologian N.T. Wright says this: when human beings worship that which is not God, they give authority to forces of destruction and malevolence, and those forces gain a power. In other words, when we worship things like money, or sex, or the power of the markets, or romantic love, or success, or false ideologies, or when we worship our country, or when we worship our nationality, when we worship spiritual beings, or angels, or nature, or the sun, or the moon, or any created things, when we put any of those things in the place of God in our lives, we're investing them with a power and an authority that is not rightfully theirs. And these spiritual powers are at work in our world alongside the devil, and they affect organisations and cultures as well as individuals. Another theologian, Stanley Hauerwas, says this: what you're up against in being saved is not simply your own personal faults and peccadilloes. You're up against what we call principalities and powers. Evil is large, cosmic, organised, subtle, pervasive, and real. Now, this makes sense to me, actually, because I used to work for a council as a social worker. And there are lots of people who worked with me in the council, and we all went into it with the best of motivations. We wanted to help people. We wanted to do good. We wanted to protect children, and we wanted to work for what was good and right and just. But so often, the system that we were working in and the organisational culture just seemed to take on a life of its own. And I found sometimes that no matter how hard I was trying to do good, I would end up working against the people I was supposed to be helping. And it felt like I was making life worse for them and not better. And it felt like there was like a power at work behind the organisational culture that was somehow greater than the individuals within it. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But actually, to me, having worked in a relatively small organisation like that, it helps me make sense of something like Nazi Germany, you know, how all of those Germans could be swept up in the evil of Nazism. You can see this. You can see the principalities and powers at work all over the place, in history and in our world today. So know your enemy, the devil and the powers. But just one more thing, I just want to reiterate about this, just want to highlight, in case you missed it, this is a spiritual battle. Verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against flesh and blood. So we're not battling or fighting against human beings, not at all, or even like countries or institutions or organisations. It's the spiritual forces behind those things that we're battling against. And that's why we're still people of peace. We're still people who pray for those who persecute us. We're not battling against flesh and blood. That is crucial. Because if we miss that distinction, we can start hating individual people. We can start becoming bitter or resentful. We can start becoming unforgiving. But forgiveness is actually one of the weapons that we have to fight. Corey, the other week in our youth and young adult group, said this: forgiveness is a wrecking ball that will knock down towers of evil. I thought that was so powerful. Forgiveness is a wrecking ball that will knock down towers of evil. Because it's doing what the enemy doesn't expect. Know your enemy. Spiritual forces of evil, spiritual beings, the devil and the powers. But I don't want any of this to be frightening for us at all, because the next thing that we should know is our authority as Christians. In Christ, we have much more authority than we think we do over these three things. It says, be strong in the Lord in verse 10, and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We are in Christ. Pete Gregg, the leader of the 24/7 prayer movement, he tells this story about two of their family pets. One was a tiny hamster called Snuffles. I don't know if you've ever had hamsters, but they quite like trying to escape. The ones we did anyway. And this little hamster, Snuffles, had a knack of escaping from her cage. And the other pet they had was this giant, big labradoodle called Noodle. So they've got little Snuffles and then this big dog called Noodle. And one day, the hamster, Snuffles, makes a break for freedom. And she's running away when suddenly, on her bid for escape, she comes face to face with Noodle, the labradoodle. And she's looking up at this huge, great animal. And Pete Gregg says this. The two animals eyeballed each other for a while, and then we watched in amazement as Noodle began to cower. She lay down and rolled onto her back. The dog, we realised, was actually trying to submit to the hamster. Then he said this. Too many people are timid in their prayers and terrified in their dealings with the enemy. The moment they behold him, they roll over and submit because they don't actually understand who they are in Christ, how highly favoured and powerful they actually are. If we are in Christ, the scripture says that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. It means that we are sons and daughters of the King. It means that we, if we are followers of Jesus, carry the authority of Christ. So we can pray confidently and boldly. We can enter into this battle without fear, because we know that Jesus has already won the victory over evil on the cross. And maybe today is a day for us to take that authority that we have in Christ and fight. Resist the devil, says James, and he will flee from you. He will. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because we know that Jesus has won. But it doesn't always feel that easy. Why is that? Why is that? It's because we're not quite at the end yet. I've heard the analogy quite a few times of living between D-Day and VE Day. You know, on D-Day, the decisive victory is what was won in the Second World War, wasn't it? That's like Jesus winning that decisive victory on the cross. But it wasn't until VE Day that actually everything was finished. Everything was done. And that's the same for us. The decisive victory has been won through Christ on the cross, but we're still in those final battle throes. And Satan, he's just like a dying and cornered beast who's thrashing around a bit, just trying to wreak some havoc before his final end. And he knows that end is coming. We know that Jesus is coming back. He's going to make an end of all this. But in the meantime, we're still in a battle. We're still living with opposition. We're still living with persecution and attack. We still have a fight on our hands. So know your enemy. Know your authority. And know how to fight. How do we fight? How do we fight this spiritual battle? Well, first of all, by putting on the armour. We've talked a lot about this already. When we put on the armour of God, we're putting on the characteristics of Jesus Christ. In Romans 13, Paul talks about putting on the armour of light, and then two verses later, he talks about clothing ourselves in Christ. So we're clothing ourselves with truth, justice, righteousness, salvation, faithfulness, with the good news of the kingdom. Another thing to say about this armour is the shield. Apparently, the Roman shield that Paul is referring to here was shaped in such a way that it was kind of shorter on one side and longer on the other. So there was a bit sticking out, covering up your friend next to you. And your friend on this side, their shield was sticking out, covering you. So you weren't just defending yourself, but also the person to the side of you. And in combat, this meant that the soldiers had to stick really close together. And I've been reiterating this throughout all the talks on Ephesians, that when we read this in English, when we read the word you, in the Greek that's a plural. It's not you individually, it's you plural. We do this battle as community, as church. We fight together, we help one another, we stand firm together, we pray for one another, we pray together, we pick one another up when we fall down. My shield can defend you when you're struggling, your sword can fight for me when I can't do it for myself. We're not supposed to be some individual hero, we're an army. The offensive weapon in this list of armour is the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. And apparently the sword referred to here is the gladius, that's the short sword. It was for hand-to-hand combat. I can't emphasise enough the power of the scriptures in this. And remember when Jesus is in the wilderness with the devil, what happens? He fights in with Bible verses, effectively. It is written. And that's something that we can do too, very practically. If there's things that we're struggling with, we can reach for our Bibles. We can memorise verses that we can bring to mind when we're struggling with something. We can sing scripture songs that proclaim truth against the lies. The book of Hebrews says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. One way that I quite often feel dragged down is by anxiety, feelings of anxiety or just overwhelming feelings of despair sometimes. And in that situation, I try and reach for verses that God has given me that speak truth into this situation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Perfect love casts out all fear. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Be strong, take heart, wait for the Lord. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. I wonder what verses you have. Take up the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. Songs are brilliant. Songs are brilliant for this to help us memorise the scriptures. And when we sing, when we declare these truths in worship, we repel the lies of the evil one. And the other kind of weapon Paul talks about is prayer. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Notice again what Paul asks for. We've talked about this before. He's in prison, but he doesn't ask for prayer to be released from prison. Seems very strange. What does he say? He says, verse 19, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I've said this before. Perhaps some of our attempts at prayerful spiritual intercession fail because they are just not in line with God's will. We are more concerned with our own comfort than with the kingdom. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha's servant is terrified because all he can see is the physical reality of an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city where he is, and he's terrified. But Elisha prays for this terrified servant, and he prays that God would open his eyes so that he can see the spiritual reality, so he can see like behind the curtain, if you like, and he can see what's actually going on. And God opens that servant's eyes, and he can see that actually God has sent angelic forces to protect them, and there's a heavenly battle going on. Sometimes our eyes are closed, and all we can see is the physical reality. There's Paul, he's in prison. He could do with being let out. And we see our physical reality, we see our problems, we could do with God sorting them out. But the battle is much bigger than this. And actually, we need to ask for the eyes of faith to be able to discern what's actually going on. And actually, Paul sees the spiritual reality that there's people right there before him in that prison whose lives are captive to sin, captive to death. They need to be transformed by the light and power of Jesus. And actually, what he needs is not to be let out, but he needs to be given the words to proclaim the gospel fearlessly in that dark place. How might our prayers be transformed if we were to see with the eyes of faith? I know it's been quite long today, and there's a lot to say. There's a lot. I had to cut a lot of stuff out as well. But this is just crucially important for our life and our faith as Christians. Know your enemy. Evil is real, and as Christians, we're part of a spiritual battle for this world. But also know your authority. Jesus has won the victory. And we who are in Christ have spiritual authority over the powers of evil, and we can pray with boldness and without fear, knowing that Jesus has won the victory over the powers. And finally, know how to fight. Put on the armour of God. Wield the sword of the Spirit that is the word of God. Know scripture. Say it to yourself. Sing it. Declare it. And pray. Pray at all times, asking God to give you the eyes of faith to see what are the prayers that really need to be prayed, not for our own comfort, but for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Take your stand. Amen. Let's come before God in prayer. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let's just come before God for a moment of confession and repentance. Just take a moment to search your heart. Bring our confession before our merciful Father who loves us. In particular, you might want to confess times when you've thought of flesh and blood, human beings, as your enemy. And confess any time, whether in words or actions, that you've actually made your fight against fellow humans. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. And Lord, we're sorry for all the times we've done that. We gratefully receive your forgiveness, Father God. And we thank you that we can start afresh by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. If you're a follower of Christ, his mighty power is within you through his Holy Spirit. We put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What truth do you need today? Lord, we know that sometimes we are deceived, that sometimes the evil one speaks lies to us. So Lord, may we remind ourselves of your truth. We are loved. We are sons and daughters of the King. We are accepted. We are forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have gifts to bring. Stand firm with the breastplate of righteousness in place. God's righteousness is given through faith in Jesus to all who believe. Lord, we thank you that because of Jesus' righteousness, our hearts, our inner lives, our thoughts and emotions are safe from the attacks of the enemy. Stand firm with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We bring to mind all the people, all the places where we'll be going today and throughout this week, whether that be to school or to college, whether that be to our workplaces, our homes, different places in the community, everywhere we'll be going. We just bring those places to mind. And Lord, we thank you that we are going with your good news of peace. We're bringing that good news, that gospel of peace, wherever we go. Lord, give us boldness to share it. Help us to be ready. Take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we declare our faith in you, Lord. We declare that you are our ever-faithful God. You are the Creator. Jesus died for us that we might live. Jesus won the victory over death and evil. Lord, you are good. You are good and you love us. You want what is best for us. We take up that shield of faith in you. We trust you today. And we take up the helmet of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that through Christ we are saved. Not as some kind of ticket to heaven when we die, but we are saved. For the here and now, we are given freedom, life, hope and joy, and yes, also an eternity in God's kingdom. And Lord, we're sorry that so often our thoughts lead us astray. And we want to fill our minds now with the truth that through Christ we are saved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We haven't achieved this. We haven't done it. You've done it, Lord. We thank you so much. And we accept that truth of our salvation. And Lord, help us to take up that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Help us to be diligent in reading, in memorising, in meditating on your Word. Bring those scriptures to mind and to our attention, which you want us to know, that you want us to hear. Speak to us, Lord, today. And it continues, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And Lord, we bring to mind those who we want to pray for today, who are in our hearts. The people who are fighting next to us, the people who need our help in this struggle. And we pray for them, Lord. We pray for our families. We pray for our friends and neighbours. We pray for our brothers and sisters here in this church. We pray for those who are struggling. We pray for those who need to know that armour of God surrounding them, protecting them. And we pray that, Lord, you would clothe them with this armour today. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Lord, we thank you for the protection and the weapons you've given us. Thank you that we have the authority to fight this battle, because we are in Christ. We are your children. Lord, help us not to fear. Give us boldness and courage. Lord, we pray all these things today in the name of Christ, who on the cross won the victory over all the powers of evil. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,